grading.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time,
it's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm trying to figure out a way this morning to talk faster than normal. I got so much stuff I want to get in. There's so much stuff that I want to talk about. We had about a 30-minute go-round here before the show even got started. All of it good that I wish everybody out there could have listened to and could have understood. But there's just so little time here. We got an hour. And I don't know about you. I cannot explain why more people aren't watching this. I just can't explain it, other than we're not getting the word out to them. Man, we get so wrapped up in politics, and I think about the amount of time that people waste. Is it okay if I say that? Waste listening to Limbaugh. That's 3 hours a day. People will put on Rush Limbaugh 3 hours a day. It won't take an hour to have this playing in the background. I don't know. I think we're on to something really special here. And I say it not because I think I'm special, but because I get the emails. I read the emails. There's something going on. There's something seriously going on. And by the thousands and thousands and thousands, they're out there begging for help. And one of the things we haven't done a good job of, when I say we, I guess me, one of the good things that I haven't done a good enough job of is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Because I'm hearing from these guys who are bearing their heart to me, and they're asking me, Coach, where do I plug in? How do I plug in? Coach, do you know any churches here? Do you know anybody? Coach, do you know this? Do you know? And I'm sitting back here, and I don't know what I tell them, and why don't I have some place to plug them in? I was talking to Tim yesterday. He and I had quite a conversation. I'm going to bring him up here in a little bit. We're going to talk about some stuff. You know what? We're not doing. I'm going to do this right now. Those of you who've been in here in the queue this morning, I've been doodling over here. I'm going to show you something. Okay. I'm going to show you one of our problems that I think is going to be absolutely eye-opening, and you can do this right where you sit, okay? Hey, Jared, pull up that link. It says churches. I'm going to show you guys something. I just by random this morning, just before we went on the air, I typed in Google churches, Columbus, Ohio. And then I went down and I grabbed a list of five of them, just five of them at random, churches. And I want to point out something to you that we better open our eyes up and understand, okay? Because I'm picking up the roadkill from these churches. I'm picking up the roadkill. I'm going to show you something here. Jared, pop one of those open for me. Put that up there on the screen. Because Jared, can you guys all see the screen? Okay, here we are, Vineyard Columbus. Vineyard Columbus. I didn't pick it any other reason, and it was the first one that popped up. Hey, Jared, let's do this. Hey, click right up here at the top, Jared, and under ministries. Ministries. Just hold that list there a second. What's it say? Can you click on it, Jared? I'm sorry. Or did you? And it didn't give us anything. Oh, small groups. Join a small group. Other ministries. Look at this. Look at this. Other ministries at Vineyard. Men's Life, Women, Vineyard, Kids, Middle School, High School, Singles, Marriage, Connect, Book, blah, blah, blah. Look at all that stuff. Look at all that stuff. Jared, click on Men's Life, Jared. Click on Men's Life. Oh, our men's life ministry gives men the tools they need to grow with Christ and develop into the men that God designed them to be. No man is an island. We are meant to live alone. We have a network of men's small groups where real and lasting friendships are formed. Get involved today. So there it is. The largest church in Columbus, Ohio, basically has no ministry to men. Jared, let's go to another church. Let's go to another church. What's the next one? Polaris Church. Oh, let's go over to programs. Let's see what they got over at programs, Jared. Click up the top of that thing for us. Kids at Polaris. Little kids at Polaris. Life groups. Polaris Christian Academy. Where's the men's ministry at Polaris Church? Where is it? Where is it? They're creating roadkill. Go to the next one, Jared. I probably won't get invited. First Community Church down on the farm. Oh, let's go to ministries there, Jared. It's a welcome to a place for all. Well, click on ministries. Let's see what it has here. Celebration and Grace, Spiritual Guidance, Early Childhood, Children and Youth, Adult Learning, Burkhart Center, Older Adult. Where's the men's ministry? Where's the men's ministry? As goes the man, so goes the family. Go to the next one, Jared. I got another one there down on the farm. Yeah, I could tell you some stories. That is down on the farm. Worthington Christian Church. Now, this is a biggie one. This is a biggie evangelifish church. Click on them. Let's see what do they have in ministries. They have, what do they have here? Children, youth, singles, men. Let's click on men. Let's see what it says there on men's ministry. Worthington Christian Church, we believe it takes godly men to teach other men how to be men of God. There are five disciplines that facilitate this growth to become disciples for Christ. Prayer, Bible study, accountability, service. The more we know God, the more we love Him. Men's fellowship, look at all this stuff down here. Come to our church and we'll have, look at this. They have fellowships on Wednesday evenings. In room 135, and Saturday mornings from 8:30 to 9:30, they have them in room 35 on these dates. Do you really want to understand what the Bible? It makes me puke. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. I think there's one more, Jared. Roadkill World Harvest Church, Pastor Rod Parsley. Do they even mess around with men? Let's see. I'm going to tell you. Okay, here we go. What's this? Kids breakfast. Love God, love people. Is there any place here? You can take it off there, Jared. Guys, you get the point. Roadkill. Men are church roadkill. Because they don't even know what the heck it means to be a Christian man. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I'm on to something here. I'm going to share an email with you. I get these all the time. Jared, pull it up there. It says questions about fellowship, I think is what it is. I get these all the time, and I don't know what to tell them. I got his permission to share this email, by the way. And I got the permission from Carl.
Roadkill.
To share this. Jared's pulling it up there with me. I hear it all the time. Go back up the top. Okay, you got to scroll up. Yep. Jared's getting it done for us. Coach Dave, guys, I get these all the time. Roadkill. Hi, my name is Carl. I've been a listener for almost a year. I have a few questions, but first I will tell you the story of my testimony that you might better understand my questions. I'm 63 years old. I was raised on a farm in Utah in the Mormon cult. I've been a homosexual for as long as I can remember. 3 years ago, I started waking up to the fact that we're being lied to by our government. The more I researched, the more lies I found. JFK assassination, 911, NASA, on and on. I felt like I was living the movie Matrix. One day at work, I was spouting off about this while everyone was looking at me like I had lost it. A good old woman approached me and she said, "Read the Bible. Start with John." I already knew religion I already knew religion was a lie, but I couldn't get that out of my head. So finally I bought a Bible and read the Gospel of John. The thing I couldn't get away from was Jesus saying, I am the truth. Huh, Rich? See that? I am the truth. Not I have the truth, but I am the truth. I continued reading for weeks and felt convicted, but couldn't kneel and confess. But I was thinking constantly, I know this is true, but who am I as a gay man? God, how am I this way? Why did you make me this way? I heard in my head, sin is lie. Sin is the lie. I know that wasn't my thought, so I say, God, what is the truth? Read Genesis 1, I heard him say. I read that over and over for days. I don't get it, God. I don't get it. Read John 17, 21. Okay. So I read Genesis 1 and John 17, 21 over and over, and finally it hit me like a left hook to the jaw. God created us in his image. Image being a verb. We are to imagine, we are to image him. Jesus prays that we be one in him as he is in his Father. We can't be in him as sin. Man and woman image that relationship. Any other use of sex is sin. The only sexual relationship of truth is a man and a woman in a monogamous relationship. Everything else is a lie and it's sin. He's saying, I fell to my knees, confessed as a sinner and a need for a savior, and I was born again. Now imagine having that experience and wanting to be baptized, and a Baptist minister telling me he can't baptize me because God doesn't save homosexuals. Then going to another denomination, and the minister is preaching that we must love the homosexual and accept them. What? I was just radically saved from that. God burned that desire out of me after showing me it is a sin. More lies. I can't get out of the matrix. Calvinism, easy grace, easy love, on and on. Then I found your program. But still, I'm stuck out here along with my Bible. I hear your disillusioned pastors feeling alone. I know there are many out here like me that need discipleship. I hear you say, if you aren't witnessing, we don't have the Spirit. But what am I going to bring to them? I can't even find someone to baptize me. I was born again. I want a born again believer to baptize me. If they're not truly born again, are they really a high priest of God? We need a way to network. He says, to put believers together. I'm going to be in Oregon this summer. Maybe you could forward this to Tim. Thanks for all your work in proclaiming the truth. God bless you. Carl. What do you do? Hey, Jared, stay on that conversation. Because I want you to follow the response that I had. Guys, we're having such impact. Do you understand that? We're having such impact. But we can have so much more. There, you hear the heart cry? See if you can scroll down there, Jerry. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe I didn't send you all that. Let me see what I can find. I can read it to you. I responded to him, Carl. Wow, Carl, I'm humbled. Actually, the fear of the Lord comes on me when I read your email. The truth is so powerful, sets men free. I'm copying this to Tim. Tim responds to me, Coach, what a great story. I wonder why discipleship's not happening. I'd be willing to help in the discipleship program. I bet you're feeling great that God's calling people out to be saved. Wow, and at his age, what a testimony. Also, I've been going through Romans, yada, yada, yada. We need to find out where this guy lives and go baptize him as soon as they can. And Carl responds, Coach, thanks for an encouraging response. I feared that you would respond differently. Additionally, the Spirit's been whispering to me to reach out for several weeks, but I ignored it. This weekend, the Spirit put on me Esther. Well, that's the fear of the Lord. Act now. This is your call. Either you do it now or forget it. Esther's a story of discipleship. New believers, Esther. Need the leaders, Mordecai. Together, we fight the Hamans. Yes, you may use my story if it'll help. Coach, but I need help. Blah, blah, blah. I said, how'd you find me? I heard you on Hagman and Hagman. These are the hardest things I get. Because with this program comes accountability and responsibility. And as we just saw, we went to five churches and there's not one ministry reaching out to men. Not really. There's ministries reaching out to men to teach them how to be good friends with each other. By the way, fake good friends. Fake good friends. Hey, men's ministry that teaches you to be fake good friends so you can do business together. Fake good friends. What are we missing? So Tim calls me. He and I having a conversation over Carl. Hey, Carl, I'm thinking about getting in a plane and flying out there and baptizing you myself, brother. That's what I'm thinking about doing. I know that's what Tim's thinking about doing. Carl doesn't even have a cell phone. He's in between cell phones. He's going to get back to us. 63-year-old, lifelong homosexual. God supernaturally delivered him, and he can't find anybody to baptize him. So I'm going to turn it over to Tim. I got a couple videos I can show. Are there any response? Anybody got anything to say right now? See, I feel like we hook them. And then we drag them up on the beach and they rot. Pull them into the boat and they rot. Because I don't have the ability to reach out to them.
Well, can we get them into a boot camp? Can we get them to one of the conferences, the Watchmen, anything?
Probably. But we need more continuous. Are you ready for this? Foundational teaching for these guys. Foundational teaching. And Tim has been harping in my ear in a good way, saying, Coach, these guys don't get it. They don't get it. The average Christian man doesn't understand justification and sanctification and their ability to walk outside of sin. They don't understand that God has given them the ability to walk outside the bondages of sin. If they just understood that, their lives would be revolutionized. Come on in here, Tim.
All right, I'm here.
Well, let's go, brother. Does anybody have anything to say before I turn Tim loose here? Because this is part of what we got to do, man. This is it. They're out there.
You know, Dave, I sent Robert a text this morning just to encourage him for the day, and you know, it said, I love God's law. You know, and men don't even understand God's law. They don't. It just seems like every Christian man I'm around in my arena, they could care less about God's law. Well, we got to follow the rules.
Right.
You know, and it's heartbreaking. You know, there's a better way. I don't know how we get it out there either.
Well, we each have to disciple. Each one has to disciple one. That's what we have to do. Or we need to set up a system here where I got calls coming in. I got set up a system here where we can at least disciple them online. Hang on just a second, sir. I'm going to get this call, then I'll get you up here. You slept in too late and you missed it. What do you want, Raj? Roger, you're there.
Dave, I'm here.
Go ahead. You're up. You're listening to the tape delay, brother. There's a delay on the tape.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is on men's ministry, flows through male leadership. It's control. Pastors are afraid of men, and that's why we have them.
That's right. That's right.
And we have a vibrant men's ministry
that involves more than donuts and football talk.
And every study, the man comes to the Lord, it flows. No emphasis on that in most churches.
There isn't, brother. So we have to come up with an answer here, Raj. We have to come up with it, and that's what we're going to try to jump into right here. Thanks, man. Go ahead, Sarah, real quick.
I just wanted to know, Coach, what was his name again? The gentleman?
Carl.
Carl.
Yep.
I would like to welcome Carl to the family. He's a new brother of mine.
That's right. He sure is.
A strong man. And he will help to save many by going over all of this.
Amen.
Welcome to the family, Carl.
Welcome to the family. Hey Tim. Coach, yes.
I would just say, you talked a little bit about discipling, other guys online. And, I know the link gets sent out, or they can go to your website. They can click on that button. They can get told this huddle. But, everybody on here, it's extremely easy to set one of these up yourself. You can have two or three guys on another night or another time in here with you doing the exact same thing. You can email them a link that they'll be able to join your huddle. I know me or Jared, any of us would be willing to hop on the phone, show you how to do it if you had an interest, because it's super easy to do. And you could disciple people all over the world basically that way.
Amen. You can take the stuff that we talk about here every morning. You can just take one aspect of it. I heard from Leanne yesterday. She said she'd never heard that the church is the body. She'd never heard that. She thought the church was the bride of Christ. She'd never heard that Jesus doesn't love everybody. She'd never heard that. Where are you finding this stuff out? People are hungry for this truth. They're hungry for it. They're not going to church. And if they are going, they're not hearing it. Go ahead, Tim.
It gets me. I love the part where the Apostle Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel has been revealed. And we don't say to people, the whole mystery of God has been revealed. So I'm gonna
wait a minute, Tim. In other words, it's not a mystery anymore?
It's not a mystery anymore.
Wow. Tell me more.
And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're just going to briefly, now out of what I want to say, we're going to get about 3% today. So we're at the gym. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17.
Matthew 3, 13. Folks, stay right there a second, Tim. Folks, one of the things that we're going to try to set up here is we are going to do what Dylan just said. We're going to begin to have guys do what Tim's doing now. Build a little downline where he's going to go on and he's going to spend an hour and he's going to teach men the very basics. And then Rich may have something that he's going to do, and he's going to go on for an hour, and anybody wants to come in, and he's going to teach men the very basics in his network of it. That's what we need to begin to do, to use this platform to be able to do that. Okay, Tim, Matthew chapter 3.
Yep. Verse 13. We'll start with there. You ever wondered about the baptism of Jesus, how powerful it was? We have just the basic things we don't talk about. Look at this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And what is that? Think about that. To fulfill righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
This is my boy!
Yeah. Look at these basic facts. If we were talking to Carl, this is what happens. When you get baptized, you fulfill all righteousness. Two, the heavens are open. You get to understand spiritual concepts now. Because before, the old man can't comprehend who God is. Three, The Spirit came on him with power. So we see the Holy Spirit coming on a person when they get baptized.
Now, hang on, Tim. This is happening to Jesus.
Yes. And so I'm going to connect this to what happens to us now, too, here in Romans. So the Spirit comes on him. Now, look at it. Now it says, the Father says, or sonship, I am well pleased with you. Can you imagine getting baptized and the heavens open up and you get saved and God says, I am so well pleased with you. So The heavens open up. We understand concepts. The Spirit comes on us and God says, I am well pleased with you. Wow. Just all in water baptism. One little thing of obedience. And all this dynamic stuff happens to us. Okay. Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
Now jump to Romans chapter 3. Verse 21.
Tim, give Jared a chance to catch up here with us on the screen. Romans 3:21.
3:21 through 26. So this is good.
Hey Tim, I'm going to read it because I want all of us to be hearing. See, a lot of times when we use different versions, you use whatever version you want. That's okay. People who aren't real Spirit filled get lost in the translation. So let me read this the one here, the same thing. This is 21
through 26.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus.
So every time you see the word justified, you got to circle it. Propitiation is a great word to circle. Okay? So now he brings in this concept of justification, that now what Christ did for us forgives us of all sin. So now let's jump to Romans 4, 19 through 25. I just want to quickly throw a couple scriptures to lay a foundation. Because once we have the foundation, then we can understand what chapter 6 is going to say. So Romans 4, 19 through 25, coach.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, which he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, believing and giving God the glory. And being fully persuaded, hey, persuaded means you used to think one way, now you think another. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus from our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Now, that word imputed, that is such a key word, because it was imputed to him, or it was set to his account. It was given to him. So Abraham received this justification or this righteousness from God because he believed. All he had to do is say, you know, I believe that you are Jesus Christ. You died for my sins. You rose from the dead. And now you're going to give me eternal life also. You're going to change me. Same thing Adam had. And Adam got saved. Because God gave him the skins, the shedding of blood. From day one, the shedding of blood all the way to now. Imputed. He gave it to us. Powerful stuff. So what was imputed? The righteousness. God makes us righteous. And the average person doesn't know that the blood of Jesus cleanses them from every single sin. And we get to walk in the forgiveness of sin and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go on. So we become justified, right with God.
Hey, Tim, I'm going to stop you.
Go ahead.
Jared, there's a 3-minute video. Tim, this is on justification. It's 3 minutes. It's simple. Watch this. 3 minutes. Justification. We hear pastors in church say, well, justification is just as if I had never sinned. Well, come on, man. Come on. Justification. Can you get that there, Jared?
In the 2012 movie Batman Returns, one of Catwoman's driving motivations was her desire for a clean slate. As you might imagine, she has a pretty sordid history as an international cat burglar, and, like all of us in the age of social media, every detail of her life is on record somewhere on the World Wide Web, making it impossible for her to escape the past. But word on the streets of Gotham is that someone has developed a powerful computer program called the Clean Slate, which will erase your entire internet record from every database on the planet, all with a simple click of a single button. And for reasons that are perhaps obvious, Catwoman would do anything to get her hands on it. In this respect, Catwoman is more than just a comic book supervillain. She is also a metaphor for us all. At least, the way data about us accumulates on the internet until it starts to define us and control us is one of the growing social issues of our day. Harvard professor Jonathan Zittrain uses the term reputational bankruptcy to talk about all this. The web never forgets, he reminds us, and as more and more of our lives are lived online, it becomes increasingly difficult to escape the impact of our digital footprints. What we need, Zittrain argues, is some way to declare reputational bankruptcy and start over. Like if the internet allowed you a one-time pulling of a lever that would delete your digital identity and you could just start fresh. The concept of reputational bankruptcy is a helpful image for something the Bible calls justification by faith. The idea is that we are justified before God, not by works, keeping the Old Testament law or adhering to some human-defined moral code, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Strictly speaking, the term justification is a legal term that describes a judge rendering a not guilty verdict in a court of law. To be justified is to be declared not guilty. But what exactly does this mean? How does God declare us not guilty on the basis of our faith in Christ? And what does this justification actually look like for us in real life? Well, this is where the clean slate comes in handy. Because in the same way that all the digital data that's accumulated about us on the internet has all sorts of implications for our present, impacting our ability to get a job, to secure a bank loan, to get a date, and so on, so much so that our digital identity can come to define us in all sorts of unhealthy ways, so too with sin. Biblically, sin is not just about the moral failings of the past that need forgiveness. It is also about how these moral failings define us and have all sorts of implications for our present. Our ability to serve God, our ability to commune with Him, our ability to take our place as one of His people. We don't just need forgiveness, we need a brand new spiritual identity. And justification by faith is for our spiritual identities what the clean slate is to our digital identities. On the cross, Christ stands in our place as our fully human representative, and through His own death, He puts to death the entire sin record of our lives. He canceled the accusation that stood against us, is how the Bible puts it, nailing it to the cross. Through His own death, He wipes the slate clean, and then through His resurrection on the other side, He offers us a brand new identity to live, united with His resurrected life. In a very real way, putting our faith in Christ is like declaring reputational bankruptcy and so allowing God to justify us, to wipe the record clean so that Christ's identity can now define us. And like it says in one place, having been justified like this through faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Is that simple? So we have Carl, who was a homosexual his whole life, who understood what Christ did for him, and Carl is a new guy. Why? The slate has been wiped clean. And no matter what people tell him, how often they bring it back up, he says, that wasn't me. That's some other guy. Guy's dead. That isn't me. Go ahead, Tim. I just thought that was a very clear, simple explanation.
Hey, that's great, man. Let me say this again. The Bible says that when you become a homosexual, you become reprobate. Your conscience is no longer there. Well, God cleared his conscience, convicted him. So I know for me, an ex-heathen, you know, I mean, I was a wild guy when I was younger, Coach. I mean, we're all wild. So here's the
wild
thing. Conscience. We have a past. So Romans 5, 1 and 2, Coach. Read that.
Romans 5. I'll give Jared a second to get there.
1 and 2.
Romans 5, verses 1 and 2.
Now,
it says.
Go ahead.
Therefore, being justified by faith. Now remember, justified. Therefore, having your slate wiped clean by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When God does a Google search on you, he doesn't find all that old mess. It's gone. Now, the internet will find it. Your friends will find it on Google. But it ain't you. That ain't you. That old man's gone. And by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
So you have to stand in that grace and that faith, and you have peace with God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, to be able to pray with peace, to be able to talk about Jesus with peace, to talk to other people with peace, it's amazing, man, just to have peace in your mind. I mean, I talk to people all the time and say they can't shut off their mind. They don't have peace. And I tell them, because you don't know God intimately. You don't know what happened to you when you got baptized, when you got born again. Okay, Coach, look at 5:8 real quick.
5:8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commended. That means applied. Tattooed. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, he demonstrated it. He gave it to us. It's clear the mystery has been revealed. Now, look at 10 and 11.
For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Says, my goodness, if he can rescue you out of that mess, think what he can do now that he's filled you. For if we, when we were enemies, I'm sorry, verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The books are clear. We ought to be able to rejoice and move forward from this point. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, no, that verse is we are connected with him. We have harmony with him. So now we're connected with God. We have harmony with him. We are one with him. And most people believe they have to go to church. They have to go somewhere. They have to do something. They don't know that they were engrafted in God.
They have to go to God's house, right? We got to go to God's house on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, here's the key. Look at 6:1 and 2.
Hang on there. 6:1 and 2. Romans 6:1 and 2. So what shall we say then? He says, okay, boys, knowing this, our slate's been wiped clean. And now the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. What do we say, boys? Shall we keep on sinning? Huh? Shall we? That grace may abound? Are you kidding me? How shall we that are dead to sin? Oh, my goodness, Tim, I got it. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
You can't live in sin because
you can't live in sin because you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Now look at how he equates water baptism to this. So look at 3 through 10. This is now, as you read this, Coach, comprehend this. Go ahead. 3 through 10. Watch this now.
Know you not. He said, don't you know, boys, that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were also baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried. That old man's buried with him by baptism unto death. That old man died. that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We were buried and resurrected. When Christ came into us, with water baptism symbolized us being dead, and we raise up, and we raise up, and we are now Christ living in us, no longer us. That old man's gone. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is dead, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead, my goodness, is freed from sin. Holy smoke. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he don't die no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, boys, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Do I keep going, Tim?
Yeah, hold on right there. Perfect. Now, recap. Verse 6, knowing this. You have got to know what happened to you when you got born again. You got to know that you died. You got to
Amen.
Know what happened in water baptism. It says it right there. We just read that. knowing this, that the old man was crucified.
But we don't know that, Tim.
No, pastors don't teach this stuff. So if the debt was canceled, nailed to the cross, if we're born again, the Holy Spirit now lives in us, we're connected with God, the mystery has been revealed, how sin can be wiped away. Now, okay, how does the regenerated man, now the word regenerated means God has plugged his electricity into us.
Amen.
We have the power of God living in us.
Woo!
So now how does this new, strong, electrified man live? So now we're confronted with sin every day. The Bible says that the old man in us died, but we have a flesh. This failing body is corrupted. Right? We got a virus in us. So it said in verse 11, read verse 11 and 12, coach.
Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Do you do that? Hey, Rich, do you reckon yourself to be dead unto sin? That old dead sinner, that guy's dead.
And coach, the word reckon means to count, to take an inventory, to conclude that you died in water baptism and that you rose to new life. You got to reckon yourself. You got to add all those facts together of what happened to you in Christ. Go ahead.
Wow. But you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You, Rich Roger, no longer live. You're dead. Christ lives in you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. No excuse to continue in sin. No excuse.
No, but okay, now let me show you the power of how to walk. Look at verse 13. This is the key.
So, Roger, don't yield you, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't do that. Don't take the bait on sin. You have a choice whether you're going to do it. You have a choice whether you're going to click on the pornography or you're not going to click on the pornography. You now have the choice to be able to say no. But yield yourselves unto God. as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You have a, what do they call those things? When you take an old car, you have a restored car. It looks like the original, and it's perfectly cleaned out, and it is cherry, baby. You can drive that in any parade you want to, because why? You're dead. And you've been, what's the word say? Restored as an instrument of righteousness. Unbelievable.
You know, look at this. So, here's your members. You got your hands, your eyes, your mind. So, since we are now born again, we're resurrected creatures in Christ. The old man was crucified. If we don't yield our members, so here's this thing. If I don't grab this, the lust of life is his right here. Here's my cup. So Satan says, grab that cup. And I say, no, I'm not going to yield my members to grab it. So the temptation is always in the mind. So the mind is the warfare. That's where it takes place. It's not sin in the mind when it's when you have those thoughts of let's go do this, let's go do that. No. But when it comes up there, go click on that porn site. Well, if you don't yield your members to do it, you don't
Amen.
Sin.
Amen. Amen.
The warfare is right there. So here's the power of God. You have the Holy Spirit residing in us, that he's always given us power to overcome. So here is the cool thing. We get to walk in the Spirit. So now, you want to see something really cool? I want to give you two things real quick. Look at chapter 7, verse 1.
Romans?
Yeah, Romans 7, 1 and 2.
It's funny, Paul keeps asking questions. Actually, they're rhetorical questions. It's actually like your dad says to you, boy, you didn't know to fill that with gas? You didn't know that? That's the way Paul's asking these questions. Verse 1, don't you know, boys? What's wrong with you guys? Don't you know, brothers? For I speak to them that know the law. Don't you know, boys, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he's alive? Uh-oh, I know where this is going. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband for as long as she lives. But if the husband is dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband.
Okay. Look at this. We talked about the water baptism death of Jesus. We talked about chapter 6, the death of us. Now 7, we're talking about the death of a husband. This whole thing about dying. He says, verse 1, don't you know I'm talking about the law here? So here's the key. If a person lives by the law, not by being born again, they try to earn their way to heaven. This is what happens to them. Now, look down at verse 14. Now, read 14 to the end, coach. You'll love this. This is what happens when you try to earn your way to heaven, when you try to follow the law.
For we know that the law is spiritual. Time out. Do we know that? Paul's assuming we do. For we know the law is spiritual, that I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I don't want to do, then I can sin unto the law that it's good. Now then, it's no more that I do it, but that sin is dwelling in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I can't find. For good that I would do, it is no more that I do, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the spiritual man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity into the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Wow. So a person who lives by the law becomes a wretched person. The things I don't do, I do. You know, I can't understand really what's going on. And they become wretched. They become all mixed up.
Miserable. Right?
Miserable.
Guilty.
Guilty. Okay, so if you live by the law, you become wretched. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no happiness, right? You just get frustrated going to church. Now, if you truly understand the mystery, you understand that you're born again. You understand how not to yield your members. You understand the power that lives in you. Look what happens to us. 8:1. Coach, look at 8:1 for those who walk by the Spirit. Look at this.
Let's get there, boys. 8:1. This is very clear. It's conditional. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus means I don't have to follow that old stinking law of sin and death. I got this new life of Christ Jesus, and this old law, it don't have any authority over me at all. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh.
So if we're not walking by the law, if we're walking in the power of the Spirit, there's no condemnation. Peace, joy, happiness, right?
Yes, so, because listen, condemnation is your conscience or the Holy Spirit or whoever declaring you guilty. That's condemnation. The Holy Spirit comes in conviction. The Holy Spirit comes to you and say, hey, Weaver, you better stop doing that. That's conviction. Condemnation is, oh, yeah, well, whoever hire you again, Weaver, boy, if they ever find out, oh, that's condemnation. You're going to be ruined. And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll be convicted, but you won't be condemned.
Yeah, yeah. So here, the joy of life is if we don't yield our members to sin, we get to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what people say to me all the time. How do I know what sin is? Super simple. Go to Galatians 5:16. So if you go to Galatians 5:16, you're going to find out what sin is, what it is to walk in the flesh.
Pardon me for the cough.
If you want to, Coach, we can read this. So, 5:16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust flesh fights against the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these two are going at it all the time, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, that flesh ain't got any power over you at all. And here's the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of the past. I told you before, as I tell you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So if you yield your members to these things, you're walking in the flesh. So I hear guys all the time trying to make up ideas. Well, I drove over 55. I drove 56 miles an hour. I sinned. No, we're just saying the Bible, don't drive 55. That was Sammy Hagar that said that. I can't drive 55. Okay, so we know what the flesh is. He tells us right there. Don't make it be your own. So now look what it is to walk in the Spirit.
Boy, but the fruit of the Spirit It's so much different, man. It's love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And by the way, against such, there ain't no law.
So, here's the mystery. It's been revealed. That once we're born again, the old man has died. In water baptism, we have all that power that came to us. We were identified with Christ. And now we get to walk in the power of the Spirit. No condemnation, and you have to yield your members to sin. So every single day we can analyze what we're doing. Here's our temptation. Ah, it doesn't bother me no more. I don't need that sin. Oh, that felt good to sin once. Oh, man, the condemnation that came with doing that. I'm repenting. I'm no longer doing that. So now we get to walk in the power of the Spirit every day. And I tell guys, you can analyze your life to find out if you walked in the Spirit all day. Because you didn't commit adultery. You didn't fornicate. You didn't do these things. And if you didn't yield your members, you get to have the joy and the peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
Every day.
Every day, brother. Every day.
And then when you do sin, you go, oh, my God, I yielded my members. I'm repenting. I repent, God. And then we get stronger, we get stronger, we get stronger.
The greatest destruction of the life of a Christian man is sin. Nope. Nothing will steal your confidence or your strength or your anointing more than sin. And the shame that we don't understand in our churches is our men are sitting in the pews of the churches not realizing they don't have to sin.
And they have the power not to sin.
Have the power not to.
See, if a person doesn't read their Bible or understand this one concept, you'll never find it in any other chapter except Romans 6. So my point is, if the people are taught what the mystery and what happened to us has been revealed, they got the power. Where is the power of the church?
Yeah.
We're told to go to church. We're told to do not to do certain things. We're not taught what happened to us.
Amen.
Yeah, man, I love this stuff.
Nancy Reagan, just say no. Just say no. Hey, I got 4 minutes here. Somebody busting to say anything?
Hey, coach. Yeah, yep. I'm busting.
Okay.
Hey, okay. Man, you guys, I'm telling you, you're doing a fabulous job of explaining this. Do you think, because I look back at my own life and know that for years I didn't walk in this power, although I had accepted Christ. You think there's a lot of men in the church that are truly born again, but they don't have the fullness of the knowledge of the power that we truly have not to sin?
George, they're taught in their churches that they're just lowly sinners. They're just lowly sinners, and they fall into sin, and they don't have any idea. See, they've been taught they've been forgiven of their sins. They haven't been taught they've got victory over their sin. You right. don't have to do it anymore. Not only are you forgiven from it, you don't have to do it. You got power to say no. And when men get the power to say no, and they see their lives clean up, the power of Christ begins to flow through them. Just ask our buddy Carl. And the pastors Amen. Won't the pastors Amen. Won't baptize him because of what he used to be. He said, I ain't that anymore. And we got people in our churches who claim to be forgiven who have no victory over sin. That's shameful. That's shameful.
Coach, yep. one more thing.
Yep.
Do you think that also has to do with true repentance is not taught? So therefore, if people don't truly repent, they don't truly get saved.
They don't truly get. Well, they got to understand it. First of all, George, Carl, you know what Carl said? I just reading his email. You know what he said? Hey, I don't have to be a homo anymore. I don't want to be a homo anymore. And he isn't. Why? Because he's been justified. He's received the Holy Spirit. He's crucified with Christ. Now he's alive through Christ. And he can't find some fat Baptist pastor to baptize him. I said fat Baptist pastor who sins in gluttony. But that sin's approved. Oh, man, I got myself in trouble on that last one. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Tim, that's good stuff, fellas. That's good stuff.
It doesn't take much to be taught the word and to walk in that victory, man, that joy. What joy.
What joy, what joy, what joy. What joy. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I can't tell you the crazy things I used to do I don't do anymore. I can't tell you the crazy. Hey, I don't even get tempted by it anymore. It's almost like the devil said, give up on hell. That ain't working on him. Try something else. He ain't taking that bait. Why? Because when I walk in the spirit, I don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It don't mean I don't see a pretty woman. I see pretty women. Yeah, man, she got a great shape. But that's all right. I got a pretty thing at home, and I'm bound to that pretty thing at home. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to wake up in the morning and be worried about whether my wife finds out that I went out on some woman last night. My wife can check my cell phone and see whether or not I'm looking at other women. No. Lord, I ain't interested in that. Thank you, Lord. I ain't even tempted by that thing anymore. That's what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And that means the things that you don't want to do, you don't do them anymore. I don't even want to do it. I don't even want to do it. Don't even want to do it. We've showed so cheap in the gospel. Great teaching this morning, Tim. My, my, my. Hey, guys, let's all lift up old Carl. That brother, man, that brother has done something, hasn't he? He has done something. Let's figure out a way that I can get out there, Tim can get out there, and we can baptize that boy before too much longer. God bless you all. Thanks for being with us. Great teaching today, Tim. Go back to sleep. See y'all tomorrow.